part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. Part-timefanboy.com.
Well, all right. Well, this is a part-time fanboy, and I'm here with Ian Scheller and Paul Edwards, and we are here. We're here because Ian texted me before the weekend, and he's like, "I got to talk to you about the Flash finale." And I was like, "Well, why don't we record it for the podcast?"
Yeah.
Because, yeah, nothing's worth talking about unless we record it for the podcast, right?
Right.
Well, dude, I mean, the mid-season finales this year have been pretty outstanding.
Solid stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So wait, let's break down what we've all seen. I've seen them all.
Wow.
But Ian, you've seen The Flash and what else?
Walking Dead.
And Walking Dead.
And it was kind of weird.
Paul, what have you seen?
I've seen pretty much everything except for The Walking Dead.
Except for The Walking Dead. Gotcha. Okay.
Can we talk about where this whole mid-season finale thing came? Because it...
Cable.
AMC created this, right?
I'm not sure if it was AMC or... Yeah, maybe.
You know, it's been around for a while. Because,
they just never called it that. Yeah.
They never really called it that.
Oh,
what
okay.
happened is that traditionally... Your shows would go on hiatus around for the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be sort of a winter break and, you know, they don't really reappear until middle of January, you know, something like that.
Yeah. You would have sweeps like in November, right, Paul?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And this is totally off topic. Do you ever remember like a board game that was about, it was about like network programming.
No.
And all of these like knockoff TV shows of like Battlestar Galactica and stuff, and like you would win by like programming like the perfect night for sweeps and things like that.
Oh, that sounds
I've
great.
Never heard of this thing.
It was ridiculous. I used to play it as a kid. So,
you know what it's called?
No, I have no idea.
No.
I was just wondering if anybody remembered this thing. I may have made it up in my own fevered, childish brain.
That sounds like the most boring game ever.
No, I loved it.
Did you really?
Yeah. I enjoyed network programming when I was 8.
You were a little Brandon Tartikoff when you were a kid.
I'm Brandon Tartikoff, the home version.
Yeah, I know, right? Cool. So, Ian, what is it about the... I'm assuming that you have questions about The Flash. Let's just get started with The Flash, because that's the big one that we've all seen. Yeah.
All right, so there was just a lot. I was kind of losing my mind during that episode.
Why?
for some reason, the... Reverse Flash really scares the hell out of me.
He's creepy. They made him really creepy.
I mean, everything, even the costume, it has like that, you know, darker airbrushing like towards the bottom. So it's like yellow, but also black.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, everything about it was, I was like, I can't believe I'm watching it. But my worry or my fear was that are we going to get into weirdo, strangeo, you know, future?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Territory.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if so, I mean, I really need both of you. I need both of you to talk me either off the ledge or just talk to me about how you view them kind of handling this, because this is where you could potentially derail the entire thing, right? If the writing's not good?
Well, I think they've kind of proven that the writing's pretty solid for like a CW soap opera show. I think it's even better than, I mean, we talked about The Flash like earlier, you know, this year in the fall. But I mean, I think the show has taken off better than any other superhero show that I've seen. You know, I mean, it's like embracing the whole thing. So they obviously have a handle on like what they're going to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They've they clearly have a plan with this. And,
there's definitely a plan.
They're going for it. And as long as that plan involves Gorilla Grodd, I am down.
I know. And all I know is Gorilla Grodd better talk. That's, I keep saying it, and I just want to see a talking gorilla. That's what I want to see. But
we're not impossible to please.
Yeah, I know exactly. I really think that what you could be seeing, it's really funny because Barry Negrin, the guy who I do the Doctor Who podcasts with, he started watching The Flash because he's like, is it good? And I'm like, oh, it's really good. And he really loves it. And I'm starting to think it's really funny. I don't know why this popped into my head. I mean, if they're going to be doing time travel, people from the future, people from the past, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you could be looking at sort of like a Doctor Who sort of superhero show. Like, you could be looking at alternate universes. You could be, I mean, there's even some speculation that this could be the way that the TV show, The Flash and Arrow, might like bleed into the movies. Because DC has always been like a multiverse, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. Why not? You basically have a movie version, you have a TV version, and it's all part of, you know, the same big multiverse thing. You know, it's Grant Morrison's dream.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk about the mid-season, you know, because, you know, they've been building up to the Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Or Anti-Flash or Professor Zoom, whoever you want, you know.
Yeah.
All season, you know, it's been sort of the big mystery.
Yeah.
And then he finally appeared, you know, full force in this episode.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he really, and they did such a good job of him because he's got that, you know, the red eyes and the vibrating, like, back and forth, like, all the time, you know.
Right, right.
Sort of, he looks like some freaky kind of, like, monster ghost thing. He's really creepy.
And in the comics, guys, what is his powers? Is he faster than the Flash?
I don't, you know, like, the Flash is a character that I have never been into. Like, never. Just, there was a short run that right after Crisis of Infinite Earths where Wally West first became the Flash. Mm-hmm. And that was written by Mike Barron, and I think it was illustrated by Butch Goose. Or I think that's how you pronounce his last name. But that's the only time I was really into the Flash. But I hear that Geoff Johns did a really great run and some and he's in charge. He's kind of like helping steer the ship on this series. Oh,
So here's the deal with Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Professor Zoom also was his name. Pretty much his, as far as his powers go, he has all the same powers as the Flash does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much exactly like the Flash. The big, you know, issue here in, you know, in the series is who is he, you know?
Yeah.
In the comics, his identity is Eddie Thawne, who, as we all know, is the partner of, you know,
Flash West, is dead.
Detective West.
Yeah.
Flash is, you know, sort of adopted dad. You know, in the comics, he's Eddie Thawne. You know, in the TV show, they're kind of making it seem like it could be Dr. Wells, but really we don't see Dr. Wells like sort of in the suit. We just see him assembling the suit.
Well,
know?
Is he assembling the suit? See, this is the thing that what little that I know of like Professor Zoom or the Reverse Flash, the only time that I was really exposed to Reverse Flash was in the 80s when the Flash killed him by accident, right? Mm-hmm. Like that whole dun dun dun, like he was going to kill my fiance and I had to stop him. So I grabbed him around the neck while we were running at super speed and accidentally, you know, snapped his spine or something. But from what I've been reading online, there's like several versions of this guy. There's not just one. There's like a present day Reverse Flash. And then there's like a Reverse Flash from the future. And yeah, and apparently there's like a bunch of different ones, and I know that like a lot of people were speculating on, you know, like that this Reverse Flash, this one that we're seeing, that mm-hmm. seems to have more experience with his powers and, you know, is faster, stronger than the Flash is now, is some dude from the future.
Right.
You know, and
wait a minute. But didn't he look at the costume?
Like at the end, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think, like, we're totally jumping all over the place with this episode. But
that's what I'm saying.
You know,
it's time travel.
Spoilers, obviously. But do you guys think that the professor is... Because I don't think that means that he's the Reverse Flash.
No, I don't think it is either. But he's definitely engineering things so that there will be a Reverse Flash. In the same way that he's engineering things so that there will be a Flash.
Wait, I see.
I didn't even think of it that way. I think... Because you know how at the end he's, like, putting that thing on the suit?
Right.
And he's like, Merry Christmas. I thought that he somehow had gotten his hands on the suit or something and was doing something to it. By
harnessing it, by putting that tachyon harness on there, it would allow the person in the suit to be able to travel through time.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and it's basically saying that he was like a criminal from the 25th century, Professor Zoom. And he found a time capsule containing the Silver Age Flash's costume. So that's Barry Allen. And he uses a machine to amplify the suit's speed energy, providing the abilities of the Flash as long as he wears it.
So what I'm thinking that we might have here is a little bit sort of a hybrid kind of a thing where you've got someone from the future, you know, Dr. Wells, who is influencing things, but he isn't necessarily the Reverse Flash.
Right, because why would he come back and kick his own ass?
Well, so are you thinking that he's Barry Allen, Ian? Like older?
No. Oh no.
I think he's Eddie Thawne. I think he's the partner. Well, right. I think that things are going to go badly over Iris, and that Thawne's going to become Reverse Flash.
Really?
Yep, oh, they, I think
they
so.
That seems way too
predictable.
Setting that
up, though, right? With this whole task force, like they kind of
finally
set that up. It's crazy. I feel like this show never held back. I was always pretty much there for every episode. Maybe the Mr. Freeze or the Freeze Gun episode was, but I really have enjoyed every episode. And I feel like I hate to say this, but I'm like, oh my god, are they moving too fast?
Yeah.
But.
The Flash can't move too fast.
I know.
So yeah, I guess that's why I was freaking out, because I'm like, oh my god, I wasn't prepared to get into thinking of time travel.
I kind of get where you're going, because this is usually the kind of thing that they bring out.
They
for,
drag
like,
on
a season finale.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
right.
And this
right.
is already mid-season, and here they are, boom. You
and
know?
I like that. I like that. That's what I guess I was so excited about and so freaked out about. I'm like, they're doing this now?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, look how quickly they've rolled out Firestorm, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's talk about Firestorm a little bit, because that's what starts to get me worried about stuff, is when the gimmicks become, like, you know how the animated shows, they had, like, the Superman, like, Bruce Timm animated show, and you'd be watching it, and they did this in Smallville, too, and obviously I don't think they have to do this for this show, because it just started, but once they start, like, introducing like guest superheroes or something like that, like that's where I'm like, okay, we're getting into trouble, you know, because we could be pulling focus, and it just seems like a gimmick. Like they don't need that. Like they didn't need Firestorm already. I think Firestorm could have been, you know, maybe like Ian was saying, like the season finale or something.
Well, I think, you know, honestly, they're probably looking at spinning off a few of these things. You know, you've got you know, since he is Robbie Amell, you know.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, the Amell brothers are like the TV version of the Hemsworths.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that they're kind of going for that. And by the way, I do love what IO9 is calling him. They were calling him the flammable hobo.
That's great.
Which I think is like the most awesome superhero name ever.
Is he eating, or he's just having like convulsions on the street?
I don't know what his deal is. It's all I know is that I was a big Firestorm fan in the 80s, and mm-hmm. I used to love that comic book, and they're definitely doing something different than what they did, but just to see the flaming head, I was like, there's no way that, you know, because rumors were breaking out that they were going to do Firestorm, that Firestorm mm-hmm. was going to appear, and as soon as they called that guy Ronnie in the episode where they flash back to the explosion, I was like, oh, that's got to be Firestorm. And I was like, there's no way they're going to do the flaming head. There's no way. And then they did the flaming head.
Did they do the flaming head, they did the flying.
Yeah, the flying, where he like takes off in like a rocket. I was just like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. And that was a very like bold like move for them, don't you think?
I think it is, because it's like they're, you know, if you weren't certain before, they have firmly planted their flag in the, okay, we're going to do superheroes on TV. We're not going to Smallville it. We're not going to Gotham it. It's not going to be, you know, superheroes grandfathers or anything like that. You know, we are going to do superheroes on TV. And I thought it was a great moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing that I thought, like, Ian brought up a great point, which was, like, why is he beating the crap out of himself? Like, because there's a lot of people speculating that the professor is the reverse Flash from the future, but, like, how do you beat the crap out of yourself? Like, how does that work? like, I was, like, very much like, but then, like, I'm starting to see what Paul is talking about. Because, sure. I mean, if we're going down the hole of the professor actually assembling the suit, and this guy, Eddie Thane,
steals it or gets it,
or is like, the only way that I can like fight the Flash is to become like the Flash, you know what I mean? Right. Then that's interesting. It's going to go that way. But to me, that seems almost a little too predictable. It seems like maybe they're leading us down that road to kind of mess with this?
Yeah, well,
I hope.
There was that note too that there were two Flashes at the murder scene.
Oh, that's right. Like two, like there was maybe another person fighting him or trying to stop him.
Look, it's at some point, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, what you've got is the reverse Flash and the Flash fighting, you know, back at that time, you know? So he's already done some time travel here. You know, they've been doing time travel since the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, I have no idea how, you know, successful they'll be.
Yeah.
With the time travel. But, you know, I feel pretty good about it. It seems that they're, by taking sort of a really comic booky approach to it and not worrying too much about, you know, the canon and how they fit in.
Yeah.
Anything else like that. It's like they're sort of free to do whatever they want to with it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're not caught in that trap of being like super faithful, but they're also, like you said, they're like, we're going to do the superhero thing. Like, they're going full, you know, balls to the wall with that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, I'm like Ian. I'm like, dude, are these guys going to blow their load too early? Like, what? Like, what is, because honestly, with the Flash, like, I mean, Grodd is like the big thing, right? Like, is a big thing. But like with the Flash, like what besides the reverse Flash is like the big thing? Like what is,
what do you
like,
mean? His arch enemy?
Yeah, his arch. I mean, just like, well, like what is the thing?
He has a really well, you know, I mean, he was the first one who had what they called the Rogues Gallery, you know?
He had
like the group of people that he regularly fought against.
Not Batman?
Yeah, not even Batman. I mean, it was Flash who was really sort of came up with the, you know, the concept of having, you know, these routine, you know, you had people who were specifically, you know, geared toward neutralizing his powers. You know, you had the Captain Cold, you know, you had, you had things that he had to work around, and they tended to be powered around like physical things, you know, even like Gorilla Grodd, you know, he's this super powerful, you know, telepathic ape, you know? You know, he was, again, if you ever like just look at like the Rogues Gallery, that's straight from Silver Age. Flash.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, you can tell. So do you think that by the end of the season, we're going to see like all these dudes like break out of that jail and like just team up against the Flash?
I have no idea. And that's what's great right now is that like, because they've done sort of such a bold move mid-season, I really don't know, you know, where they're going to go from here. I do know that, you know, they're going to have, they've already said that they're going to have Mark Hamill.
Yeah, as the Trickster.
Oh, my God. They're talking about Pied Piper, I think, is another villain who's going to show up. So
that's crazy.
You know, they're really, really pulling out the stops with all the bad guys.
Guys, what do you think of next year, 2015? Somewhere in this DC universe that's becoming, you know, broadcast, what are the chances we see Mr. Mixelplick?
well, they're doing a Supergirl show, right? If that gets picked
that's
up.
That's true. And you know what? Okay, here, I'll go out on a limb right here. I'm going to say that Professor Wells is Mr. Mixelplick.
No.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
No, he's a Superman villain. Leave it with Superman, although he'll never show up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's totally a Superman villain. I mean, he's Superman all the way. I don't know that the Flash has ever had, like, an imp from the fifth dimension. I know that Batman had Batmite, but...
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I don't know. I'm... Like you guys, I mean, I watched that season finale and I was like, I cannot believe how far we're going. Like, I mean, what do you think about the Reverse Flash's costume? Because, I mean, I think that there's like that black stuff. I don't think that's the way it was designed. I think that there's some damage as like from him, like some whatever heat or whatever to it, some scorching to it. Because it looks like it's a burn. It looks it's burned. You know,
totally. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely
like him running so fast.
It's definitely different than, you know, the comic where it's just all yellow. But, you know, the way that they've staged it so far has been really cool. You know, I love the, you know, the vibrating look where you just can't ever really quite get a grasp on, you know, who he is.
Yeah.
They've really done that. They've done that actually better than like the stuff with the Flash, because when the Flash does it, you know, I mean, even when he's like doing the thing with his voice, I'm like, oh, that's still Barry Allen.
Yeah. You know, well, he vibrates his face like every once in a while. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, this is like that, you know, times, you know, 30.
Yeah.
They take that and they amp it up and it's really good. You know, what I really like too, is the way that it doesn't happen often, but usually I think it's like once per episode. It's like they really spend their money on like some really awesome special effect, you know? And it's like okay, you know, this is going to be the one. It's like they do try to stage at least on every episode one kick-ass moment that looks like it just comes straight out of a comic book.
I gotta say, I'm like, this show has really, like, they've done it right. Like, they just came out of the gate. You know what I mean? And they were like, if we're going to do it, we're just going to do it. And it's unlike Arrow. It's unlike Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's unlike Smallville. You know what I mean? It's just something that just is so refreshing, because they were just like, forget it. We're going to do the whole thing. Right. We're going to do supervillains. We're going to do, you know, but they've mixed in a decent amount of intrigue, you know?
They haven't apologized for anything. That's what I love about it. And that's what I love about it. I'm like, gosh, I haven't geeked out about a TV show like this in a while. That episode put me over the edge. I can't. When does it come back? January 25th? It's
like, late January, like January 21st.
End
or
of January.
Like And I was like, what? How could you make me wait this long?
Well, dude, I mean, look what they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man. They're not coming back until, what, March?
Yeah, well, that's because of the Agent Carter thing, right?
But right, but they're going to air the Agent Carter in that time slot in the meantime. You know? Yeah. So it's like it's kind of cool. It's almost like you've got like your own replacement series, you know, to take over, which I thought was a really smart move. You know, You know, Agent Carter is really only – it's like a – 8-episode miniseries, isn't it?
Yeah. Which you fits know. In perfectly with like the British sort of schedule. Like her, the actress is from England, and you know, that's the way they do TV shows over there, like 8 to 12 episodes at the most, you know.
And that would be perfect for comic book shows to do, because like we're so you know comic book readers are so used to the miniseries, plus you know any type of a story arc that you have in a comic book is usually anywhere from 8 to 12, you know, issues. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I think that's a great model. I kind of hope that other shows sort of pick up on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's as far as like the Agent Carter thing, you know, Ian, you haven't been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
No, not like, at all. I refuse to. When I saw the preview trailers, I'm like, there's no way I'm watching this.
Yeah, well, I would say that you may not have missed much, but it has been getting a lot better, you know. But the Agent Carter thing, I think it's like, what's really amazing to me is that it seems like the Agent Carter thing, they're just doing that not because they need to, or not because there was a huge demand for like Agent Carter, but they're so dedicated to like building this one TV like cinematic universe. It's kind of crazy, you know? I mean, we've never seen anything like this before, right?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, to the degree of tie-in, you know, like with their movies, and also, you know, bringing in sort of those characters that they reference in the movies and on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that, like, you know, you never really got to see. I mean, I love the fact that we're going to get to see, you know, Jarvis, the actual Jarvis.
Oh, yeah, the Jarvis person.
I love the fact that, you know, we're going to get to see Howard Stark, you know.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's kind of neat. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I'm totally excited for that. Should we talk a little bit about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale?
Yeah, why don't we? I mean, you know, Ian can listen in and realize, dude, you can. You're missing stuff, dude. I feel like it's a strong enough show that, you know, it's worth watching.
I feel like if you're into the Marvel movies and stuff, I don't know that it's essential watching, but it's good enough. You know what I mean? There are definitely things that I feel are lacking on this show big time. But it's gotten better in the second season. And, you know, I don't know. What'd you think of the finale, Paul? Like what?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I mean, except for the fact that, like, you know, they're obviously out to kill like every black character that they have.
Well, they're going to bring Blair Underwood in, Paul. Like, he's going to save the... The Ted McGinley of modern era TV.
The modern Ted McGinley.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I really enjoyed it. I loved the Inhumans shout-out. I loved the fact that they're actually going to have a super-powered person who's going to be a regular on the show now. Like, that's what they sort of have needed to have for a while.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, there's a part of me that really kind of... I just feel like this show could have been something a little bit with more, like, a harder edge, like, in the vein of 24. Like, to me, it just should have been, like, a spy show. And now it just seems like it's coming across, like, as the hunt for the Inhuman, you know what I mean? Or like, this is where we're going, like, and it's becoming less about S.H.I.E.L.D. and more about the Inhumans, you know what I mean? Or like what this city is or what these aliens are going to be, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the arc that they've got going, you know?
Yeah.
I feel in a way that they've sort of used that up with this, with this story arc, you know?
Yeah.
And they're going to have to certainly go a different way, you know, when it comes back after Agent Carter.
You don't think that they're going to, like, engage in the hunt for that lost city, like, big time? Or,
Like, that, they found the lost city.
Well, they found the underground thing, but not Attilan.
No, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I feel like this is the TV budget Attilan, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I felt like there was so much hype, and I think even someone on IO9 was like, this one's going to blow you away. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm ready to be blown away by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Bring it on. Like I want that blown away moment, because honestly, I haven't had it. And it kind of fell flat a little bit for me. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has not, like, stirred up my geek fire like The Flash has. You know what I mean? It just doesn't compare. It can't compare. Which to me is astounding, because they've done such a decent job with all the movies, right? So,
well, I've actually really enjoyed, I think, whoever they have as their fight coordinator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This season is really solid. They've got some of the best fight choreography going on TV.
Yeah.
Right now. And, you know, they do make that look, you know, super comic booky. I always wanted a greater degree of crossover with, like, the Marvel superheroes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, in the first season, it seemed very much like, okay, this is just sort of the people on the ground. You know, there wasn't a huge deal of crossover outside of Deathlok, you know.
Yeah.
Until that end, you know, where like you had your Hydra reveal and everything, and it really, and when it fit into the Winter Soldier so well, you know, I think that was where things really started getting good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see sort of what Avenger, you know, how it sort of ties in with Avengers. And I'm just blown away by how complicated this all has to be.
Yeah.
To work all of these movies together with these TV shows. I mean, Kevin Feige or Feige or
you know, whatever
wow. Like, man, that dude's job
must be crazy.
Like, it's like doing, you know, a Rubik's Cube that's like 10 by 10.
Yeah, I know. It must be like just keeping those balls up in the air. You know, the addition of what's her face, Adrienne Palicki, I think that was really a good idea, like bringing her in as Mockingbird. Something about adding her to the cast, and I'm not just saying it because, you know, whatever, she's physically attractive, she brought like a bit of energy to the show that I felt was really lacking, because I thought that May was really a little bit too stiff. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Not having fun with it enough. And, you know, Mockingbird, you know, Bobby Chase, you know, it seems like the sort of secret agent that you kind of like an alias or something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, she's like sort of the James Bond of this crew, you know. I feel really badly for her, because I did see that Wonder Woman pilot a while ago, and I remember thinking to myself, like, she got the shaft because she would have made a fantastic Wonder Woman, and, you know, that pilot was just so badly written and produced and directed, you know, that she missed out on her opportunity. But, like, she would have been a fantastic Wonder Woman. I thought physically, you know, she looked like it, and unfortunately they gave her that dreadful outfit. But talk about a missed opportunity. And, you know, good on Marvel for, like, scooping up and, like, I never watched Friday Night Lights, so I don't know, like, anything about that.
Well, what I think is sort of interesting right now is that Marvel is going on, like, almost like a casting frenzy in a way. Like, stealing away, like, all of these actors, you know? Like, you know, like, when they, like, got Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, as Doctor Strange, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's like they're... It's really interesting. It seems like there's a big sort of talent rush in a way between the two things, and it's like you're getting your Marvel actors and your DC actors.
Yeah. I mean, whatever's coming just seems like it's going to be really big. I think it's going to be Age of Ultron. To me, that's going to be like, I mean, I've been on board since the first Iron Man. You know what I mean? And I love this cinematic Marvel universe, I know there's people that disagree with me or think that, you know, Avengers was an overblown piece of trash or whatever, but I don't see that at all. I think that they manage the puzzle pieces like almost perfectly. You know what I mean? And I think that everything's working. And I'm still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there's something there that's keeping me there. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I just felt like that finale could have been, you know, a little bit more sort of, for lack of a better term, like explosive. A little bit more like, dun, 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 you know?
Hey, Ian, are you watching Arrow at all?
So I'm on... season 2 of Arrow on Netflix.
Oh, we can't talk about the
and
Arrow.
I got really ruined though because I've been watching Flash and there were 2 spoilers. And where it was just like, and
when they were talking or the commercials?
No, what's her name? The girl who doesn't really move her mouth, Smoke, Felicity Smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, can you run this DNA for
Black Canary. Yeah,
I was
like,
duh. And then two seconds later, they're like, sorry about your mother. Duh.
Yeah.
And it was like being, each of my testicles got squeezed, you know, one after the other. And I'm like, you jerks. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, I'm like, all right, it's okay. I mean, I'm loving Arrow season 2. I think they finally, like, they picked up the pace a lot more.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It's not meandering at all, I feel like. And I really love the guest starring on Flash. I mean, I thought they were all fantastic.
Yeah.
But, yes, I know. But I did not see the mid-season finale. I mean, I'm assuming there's some Deathstroke in there.
No, can't tell you anything.
No. Do you want to drop out for a second while we talk about it, and then I'll text you and you come
back?
Yeah,
text me. I'll take off my headphones.
All right, cool. Okay. I'll text you. All right, so now that Ian has left the conversation, that was fantastic.
That was an intense mid-season finale.
I know.
I mean, I was a little like, I wasn't on board with them bringing Ra's al Ghul in as a villain, you know, for Arrow.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Necessarily. I was just like, oh, you know, he's a Batman villain, you know. We had you know, he was in Batman Begins, you know.
Yeah.
But damn, if they did not pull that off. That
they totally pulled it
fantastic.
Off. Yeah.
The guy who's playing Ra's is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the fact that like they built up this like huge epic battle, you know, and then like literally like it takes Ra's all of like 2 minutes to just completely kick his ass.
I know.
I mean, it was not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, which is pretty amazing because, you know, they built, you know, they spent 3 seasons building Oliver Queen up as this intense badass.
Yeah.
You know,
like
who gets
basically
shit done.
The Batman. Yeah.
And then to have his ass handed to him like nothing.
Yeah.
Was so intense.
Yeah. Now, do you feel that we've just jumped to the end of the episode, the climax, but do you feel that he threw the fight? Because there's people saying like they think that he threw it somehow. But how could you throw, like, getting stabbed right through the... There's no way you survive that.
Why would you throw something that you would end up getting slaughtered?
Yeah, I know. I mean, stabbed right through the chest.
If anything, it just sort of, like, raises the stakes again because it's like, oh, crap. Like, you realize that Oliver Queen is, like, now... like sort of playing in a world that like he's just small potatoes.
And they've been hinting at that with the Flash, don't you think? People. What? What was that?
I think so. You know.
Yeah.
Like now that you've got metahumans, you know.
Why do we need you?
Exactly. And it sort of goes back to the whole like, wow, you know, like Batman, you know, is just a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, definitely. You know, Batman would, it gives you a greater appreciation for Batman in a way because it's like, okay, you know, at least Batman held his own.
Yeah.
This dude, you know.
Yeah.
But it also, like, definitely raises the stakes in terms of, like, sort of the hero that he needs to become.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of really interesting stuff in there that just built towards that finale. I mean, I don't know that I felt like it was, like, as much oh wow as the Flash finale, but that ending was just like, what, you know what I mean?
I mean, it seems for all intents and purposes, like, they've killed off their main character.
Yeah, I know. And there's all this stuff on the internet with, like you know, the lead actor being like, you know, Oliver Queen is just a small part of, you know, what Arrow is. And
right,
it's like,
right.
Do you think that someone else is going to take up the mantle of, like, the Arrow? Like, do you think Diggle would, like, step in there? Or, you know, there was even a story the other day that the guy who plays Arsenal was going to take a much more bigger part. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what I see, what I kind of see them doing in a way is sort of easing off in a way. Like, yeah, it's like, and he's gone for a while and Arsenal becomes, you know, will sort of get his own couple of episodes. Obviously, they're going to have Black Canary coming in.
Yeah.
You know, and
what about the Atom?
Oh, and of course, yeah, of course, you've got the Atom, you know. So in a way, it's like they set it up sort of where they can have some shows without him. And then, you know, he'll come back. You
he
know,
comes in, back in, at the end of the season, you think?
In some way. I don't know whether they'll wait that long, you know. But I think that it'll be interesting because it's like you're sort of taking out your main character for a good portion of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think... You think they're going to bring the Lazarus Pit into it?
I can't imagine a way that they can't, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's sort of the only way that they can bring somebody back from the dead here, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. What'd you think about the little bit with him and Felicity, where he was like, I love you, and she was just like, you know, like,
yeah, you know, they've had that sort of, that's been the running thing this season, you know, like why they can't be together. And, you know, it's, yeah, you know, it's cool. I really like the two of them, you know, but, at the same time, you know, I'm sort of excited also. I'm more excited in a way about the Atom than anything else because,
oh,
like,
really?
Wow, how are they gonna show that on TV? You know, how small is he going to get? You know,
yeah.
You know, I'm just sort of more excited about, like, new superheroes coming on than, you know, because
so,
I know they'll bring back Oliver. You know,
yeah. But do you think? Well, I'm just excited as to, like, how, you know what I mean? Because I think that there've been a lot of, like, really solid elements. I mean, I'm not so crazy about the flashbacks this season, and, you know, they've always kind of drifted a bit more into the soap opera realm than I would care to see, but they have had some interesting twists in the past 3 years, and I'm just very interested to see, like, is Malcolm Merlyn gonna show up and save him? Like, who is the one that is gonna eventually throw him into that pit, or is there another way that he gets saved? You know, because
I'll be honest with you, it could be Ra's al Ghul who throws him in there, because, I mean, it's at the end of it, you know, he was definitely, you know, it seemed like he had earned a little bit of respect with the guy, you know.
That's true.
For going that far. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he did, you know, sort of bring him back and sort of in a way take him under his wing the way that he did with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the one thing about Ra's al Ghul is that, you know, he's a guy who really loves to, like, to create his own arch enemies in a way and keep them close.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to sort of see that happen.
Or he wants people to owe him something or be under his thumb. Yeah. 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 No, I gotta say, I mean, it was really solid. You know, I mean, the revelation of, like, where the mother finds out what happened to Black Canary, or just, you know, intuitively figures it out, like, that that was kind of nice, because it's like, you're not going to fool mom, you know what I mean? You might be able to fool dad, but you're not going to fool your mom, you know? And you know, the Atom thing, I'm a little turned off by the fact that it's this, like, exoskeleton, you know what I mean? But they could play with that. Like, maybe something goes wrong with it. It blows up. He gets the powers himself. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing, is, like, embracing this whole comic book aesthetic. You could do anything. You could go anywhere. And they ground it enough in their world to where it'll be believable, you know? I mean, if you're already there with a guy who's, like, shooting arrows and he wears green and his partner wears, like, you know, like a leather red bondage suit, you know, and runs around, you know, then, you know, I think you can believe a guy, you know, having an accident in a suit of armor and maybe getting like shrinking powers or something. But I love that little line of dialogue that he had, like almost like a throwaway thing where he was on the phone like, oh, I want them to start mining for the white dwarf alloy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's so great. That's such a callback to the comic books. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And I love the idea that I think Felicity had one of the best lines, too, you know, where he brings out, basically rolls up the super suit and shows it to her. And she's just like, why does this happen?
Yeah, why does this keep happening? Yeah. Well, you know, she's good at what she does, you know. She's definitely the heart and soul of the show. I would not want to see her, you know, go anywhere or... You know, if they ever killed her off, there would be like a cry across the internet. You know, ratings plummet.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's really interesting how quickly she sort of became part of Green Arrow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I'm impressed with her and the way that she like really sort of got into that character. And made it sort of the audience, not only the audience surrogate, you know, but like just, you know, sort of went beyond that and, you know, became a essential comic book style character.
Yeah. And so much better than sort of like, Iris on Flash, you know, where she's just like an essential part of the team. You know what I mean? And actually like, contributes, you know what I'm saying? Whereas they've kind of reduced what's her face on the Flash to almost being like a Lois Lane sort of dopey character, you know what I mean? That's the danger of what's happening with the female lead on the Flash anyway.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, we'll see sort of what happens at the tail end of the season.
All right, let's get Ian back and see if we could talk about The Walking Dead, which you haven't seen, right?
So maybe I'll go off when you guys, you and Ian go off.
Yeah.
I'm back.
You're back. Did you hear us?
No. I was just periodically turning up the volume. If you guys weren't saying, where's Ian, I just turned it back off.
No, I was just about to text you. All right. You're back to talk about Walking Dead, which Paul has not seen. Paul is going to sign off.
Yeah, so all right, text me when you're done, and I'll come back on for the end of the show.
All right, cool, man. Awesome.
All right,
Ian, so break it down now that Paul has left the room.
Break it down. Yeah. What happened?
Tell me what you thought of the Walking Dead finale, and don't even try and pull that disaffected, like, oh, I only watch it while I'm sketching BS, because that was a solid episode.
I've stopped sketching. This season for The Walking Dead.
Gotten so much better.
But I gotta say, after every one of those shows, I feel like I am so sunken into my sofa that the only way for me to get up after the show is over is to groan like a zombie and roll off of the cushions.
That's so funny.
And I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe because I'm done with the comic. Was the episode good? Yes.
Yes.
We have a tuned up Rick.
Oh my God, he's lost his mind. He's
completely lost his mind.
Yeah.
We had, you know, that.
Like, he chases the cop down in the beginning in the car.
Oh,
and, like, basically, like, he's like, I think you broke my back. And it's like, oh my God. Like, what happened to Rick?
he didn't care.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, there's a, that arc with the cops, I don't remember being in the comic at all.
No,
right?
It was not. There's nothing in there.
And I had very mixed feelings about the way the bad woman was playing. I think she's a great actress, but there was this very ambiguous domestic abuse and almost religious undertones happening. Did you pick that up?
I don't know what you mean by domestic abuse or religious, but I definitely picked up sort of the whole, like there was a thing in there where it's like woman treading the line in a man's world sort of thing, where she kind of had to put up with the BS of the men's abuse so that she could remain in sort of like a position of authority. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, she would basically let them do whatever they wanted as long as they, you know, didn't mess with her or screw up too badly. And, you know, she just basically had to walk that moral line. And I felt like there was a bit of a statement sort of in there, but nothing overt, you know, nothing hitting you over the head. But yeah, no, man, everything from like the opening of the episode where Rick just like chases that dude down with the car to the elevator fight, you know, like right outside to like the very end where he just like Beth's death, which is just like I was stunned because I did not see it coming at all. And I had a head cold when I was watching it. So I was even like more like, am I seeing what I'm seeing right now? like because that was a character that you just kind of grew to love, right? Like that was just,
I don't know. I mean, yeah, she didn't bother me. I can't say.
Is that how you judge like characters on TV shows? They don't bother me too much. And then they bother me a lot. Is that
pretty much? I mean, I thought she was just doing as good a job as she could, but at the same time, you know, I wasn't really compelled with her, you know, on camera. I think Carol, to me, is the one of the most compelling on that show. And when it got to I forgot her name, the character's name, Beth. But Beth stuff, I was just like, again, sinking into my sofa wondering, why am I watching this? But the way it was done was a really good setup. I almost felt that the actors were shedding real tears because,
oh, come on, they've been doing a solid job. I mean, I think they've been doing a solid job from the beginning, maybe hampered with like not such great writing, you know, but I feel like the past 2 years have just been like really solid. Like I felt like last year with that episode where with the child killing, like that's when The Walking Dead, as gruesome as that sounds, like that's when The Walking Dead finally like joined the big leagues. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you like, that child.
I just thought that, They finally, like, that character has always kind of been like the wallflower, like in the background when she was introduced. And then last year they started bringing her to the forefront. And then this year they really kind of like let us in on her. And then just at the end, it was just like, and I probably should have seen it coming, but it was like, bam, they just killed her off.
Didn't, because you figure, oh, the big, you know, arc on the episode is like, okay, they get out of there and they go rescue her, and that everyone would have been fine with that, but no. And it was very well shot, and the hallway scene was great. And then you're like, as soon as that cop says no, there's something else, Rick's like that, and I'm like, I actually said, I said, wait, that wasn't the deal. And Rick's that wasn't the deal.
Man,
and then from there it just goes off.
But, well, that's like when you're just like that moment in that episode where she's like, and I'll take my person back, and it was just like, you're just like, that's when you knew that like this is gonna go very bad, like that's right now. You know, and that's the thing that was like a moment that really defined that character, where it wasn't really about helping people. It was really about power. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Beth had said that line a few times. I understand what this is about. And then she's going to kill her. And she went for the stab, right?
Yeah.
But it was like a really weird stab, like she stabbed her in the arm or something.
Yeah, well, it looked like she was going for her chest, but it got blocked by like a flak jacket. Like, I was like, if you're going to stab somebody, stab them in like the face or something.
And that's
like,
the thing, right? She didn't have the kind of wherewithal to just go for the like carotid artery or the neck or anything. Something that Rick would just bite the lady's face off. But
at
this point, but that was, to me, that was like the disappointment of, and the letdown was that, oh my God, she couldn't really even kill properly. She kind of an innocent girl, you know? She didn't have it in her to kill or to be mean.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't that ruthless, you know, ruthless character, which is really funny because with Carol, when she started, like when they started, I think, what was it, the third season, when Carol was like teaching the kids how to shoot guns. And I was like, no, that's not Carol. She's not there yet. You know what I mean? Right. I feel like after, if Beth had survived this arc, like Beth would have been there, like would have been. And I felt like with Carol, they skipped a whole bunch of stuff that could have developed her into sort of that badass, like with guns and stuff. And I felt like with Beth, if she had survived this arc, it would stand to reason where she's like, you know, like she was sort of like deflowered, you know, she was violently, you know what I'm saying? Like she was in this world of violence now, and there was no going back, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately she, dude, and the way she bought it, like getting her head blown off, like that was just like, oh man, that was rough. That was rough. It was rough, man. Like I was not expecting that. I was just blown away.
I don't think anyone was. I mean, I think I'm gonna go back to sketching next season.
No,
Christian, I swear to God, I don't know how much. I mean, I keep saying that. I mean, I held on for a couple trade paperbacks with the comic, and eventually I had to cut that off.
It's a good show, and it's a good comic.
This show should be called Rick. And it should be just him going fucking bananas.
Are those the parts that you like the most?
Those are the only parts I care about. Again, I watch The Flash because The Flash doesn't apologize and the pacing is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm like, oh my God. I gotta watch this guy with the freaking cheese doodle hair beat up somebody again, or a dummy with the radio, or other dummy who's like, oh, let me help you. We're kidnapping you, but... I believe your crappy, like when, you know, the guy with the cop and she's like, he's like, oh, there's someone out there. I need you to shoot, when the whole plan got
jacked.
I mean, it's just stuff like that where I'm like,
Well, but I think that's what the show kind of plays on, right? Is that regular people, you know, like this weekend, I hooked up with a bunch of friends and we were talking about the Bill Cosby thing, right?
Oh my God, please. Like, I don't know how this got on the podcast.
No, but not to go down that rabbit hole. But
well, I'm
like,
guilty of reading.
me too.
The accusers today.
You know, but what I'm saying is the thing that I said in the conversation was the thing that Bill Cosby and people like him have going for him is that there is a huge segment of the population of people like me, like you, me, you know, and our family or people that we know that can never imagine doing something like that.
Yeah, jello pudding.
And I feel like The Walking Dead does a really good job of especially lately, of presenting people, you know, getting caught flat-footed because they have been sort of acclimated to this world, but there's still that bit of like civilization that's like clinging on to them. So they want to believe, you know what I mean? They want to have that faith. They let their guard down, you know what I mean? And then as the show goes on with certain characters, like that starts to fall away, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't anymore, you know what I mean? And so just how long would it take you or me in a society like that to just go completely apeshit? I don't know.
Not long. I often think about that. And I figured if I had a guitar, I'd be fine.
You would be like a traveling minstrel?
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, I definitely lived some of that life when I was in New York, and I was always happy. Even if I was hungry and I played, I wouldn't be hungry. And it was something where I realized, I'm like, okay, if shit went down, the first thing I'm grabbing out of the house is the guitar.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it'll just keep some sort of peace. But yeah, I mean, you often
I see what you're saying.
That show often does make you wonder. It's like, all right, well, how long am I going to last before I eat my foot? You know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. Something came to mind when you were talking to me about that, and I almost feel like we should maybe bring Paul back here and just wrap up on the Sony hack in a way, because I feel like we're talking about so much exciting television.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like not to go down that rabbit hole, but I just almost feel like TV is just. At least for the stuff we're interested in, has just been like firing on all cylinders. I can't imagine. The only time I remember was maybe the 80s when like A-Team and Knight Rider were on back to back, where I was so excited about television. You know?
Well, it's so funny because there's so much good stuff on, and it's so hard. Like as we're recording this, Sci-Fi is premiering something called Ascension. And I kept seeing the ads for that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to watch that. Like, there's so much choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So much choice.
Yeah, there is. We were just talking about, like, how TV has just gotten so much better. You know what I mean? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just like there's so much stuff to watch, you know? It's just like for stuff guys like us, it's especially nerd guys who like, you know, zombies or action or you know, superheroes. Like it's like the perfect time for watching TV.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ian, where did you go? Did you disappear?
No. I'm still here. Okay, I'm captivated. I'm listening.
No, you're captivated. No, I mean, it was a good mid-season finale, like for everything. You know, usually, I mean, you know, I gave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit of crap before, but, you know, it paid off. Like, I was like, okay, I'll be back. You know, I want to see where this goes. You know, so, I mean, I'm just wondering if the season finale, like, if the mid-season finales were this good, what are the season finales going to be like?
Because they're going to be crazy, man.
I know, right? Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyone else have any last things to say about, you know, these mid-season finales or TV that we've been watching?
It's all very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I'm psyched for everything to come back. I mean, I know I saw those dates for Arrow and Flash, and I was like, oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me. You know, so it's gonna be some good stuff. They probably, I don't know if they're gonna start like right out of the gate, but at least we know we have some good TV. And Mad Men returning,
that's right. Last season
the final season, like 8 episodes or something, or 7 or something like that. Cool, man. All right, well, all right, this has been our mid-season finale episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thank you for listening. And I am Christian Horn, and I've got Ian Scheller and Paul Edwards on the line. And thanks for listening. I think next week I'm going to be back on with Barry Negrin to do the Doctor Who Christmas special episode. So hopefully, and everyone have a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and, you know, all that other good stuff. Because this
have fun storming the castle.
This is going to be this is going to be the last episode until Christmas. So, all right, thanks for listening. Bye.
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 Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time. Part-time fanboy.